Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5. Good to have you back. Spurs season is slowly winding down. Yeah, technically they're still in the play-in hunt. We'll see if they're able to do that. Lakers are just plummeting, so that's been helping the Spurs despite their stumble recently against the Pelicans. What are we talking about today? We're going to be putting Jakob Poeltl in the spotlight. The big question is he the long-term answer for the Spurs as far as the man in the middle? And if time permitting, we'll discuss a little some news and notes that you may have missed regarding your silver and black. He is back, ladies and gentlemen. The big man, or the big poppy in this case, is back. Brandon Medina is our guest today. He is the host of the Sunday Sports Grill. Follow him on Twitter at Big Poppy Brandon M. Brandon, I overheard that you were getting some pushback on your name, Big Poppy there. Your colleague at the Star was saying, why is he called Big Poppy? What was up with that?
Oh, listen, you know what it is not everybody knows the trademark. Not everybody knows the story behind it. And, you know, a little quick synopsis is I was always a sick kid, you know, a very bigger guy. And so playing baseball over here on the South Side, I was on the Red Sox 1 year. I was wearing number 34, David Ortiz, Big Poppy. And ever since, friends who knew me as a kid from like 8 years old on have always called me Big Poppy as a joke. So when I got into media and into radio, I kept it going and pledged, and everybody kept going with me. So Big Poppy stuck, man.
You see, you earned that nickname. You earned it.
Exactly.
You earned it.
Exactly. Yeah. I earned it, and I want to thank my sponsors of Burger King and McDonald's for helping me get that nickname. You know what I mean? So as a kid, it definitely helped out. But yeah, man, I'm excited to be back. I love talking to my boy Jeff Garcia. You're the best in the biz.
Yes,
and
sir.
Obviously, I was at the Spurs Pelicans game just a few days ago.
Yeah.
And you know, seeing that was awful.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah.
Outright. I mean, probably one of the worst Spurs games I've been to possibly ever, and definitely one of the worst games I've seen them play in a very long time. It just was completely out of balance on the floor. So definitely was rough, but I'm excited for the conversation we have today. It's an interesting one. A lot of hot takes coming, I'm sure.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, over Brandon Medina and hot takes. No, you got to be kidding me. But yeah, check out the Sunday Sports Grill on San Antonio Sports Star, 1250 AM, 103.3 FM every Sunday. Brandon's holding it down for the boys over there at the Star. You know, before we dive into the Poeltl game, the Poeltl topic, I want to go back to that Pelicans game because you were there. And I was going to go, but I had a major family commitment that I could not get out of.
Right.
But I was going to ask you, what did you see on that court? Were they that bad? I mean, the San Antonio Spurs, that is. I mean, what the H happened?
So we were there. It was Fiesta night. Me and my fiance were actually wearing some matching Spurs 25th anniversary 99 little shirts. And so it was really, really cool. And we were hyped up to go. And when we got there, everybody's juiced up. The kid behind me, it's his first Spurs game. And he immediately realizes, like, this is not going the way I wanted it to go, Dad. So this kid is losing his mind, and all I'm thinking is, if this was my first Spurs game, I'd be very upset as a little kid because I was a very upset adult. And watching it on both ends of the floor, Jeff, the transition defense was awful. The transition offense that I've talked with you about on the show and off the air, our transition offense sometimes is so questionable when it comes to a 3-2 scenario or a 4-2 scenario. It seems like we never can get the shot we want, and most teams normally can. So it was a really, really rough game, man. It was an awful loss. People were leaving by the third quarter. You're looking at third quarter at one point, I think it was almost 40 points up. Like it was really, really rough to sit there and watch.
It was brutal.
Yeah, it just really was not enjoyable. And I think whatever game plan the Spurs had, obviously got thrown out the window as soon as, you know, Coach Pop got thrown out literally in the first quarter. It was just from the jump, from the tip. I mean, it just looked it looked like we were lost out there, man. It looked like it was a very young team going against a team that had a couple of more NBA veterans on it, and was just the style of play was just not in, you know, in reach for us. We just couldn't get going, man. And I think now looking at, you know, getting a big win previously, that's nice. But still looking at that Pelicans game and just filling from that from a few days ago, we definitely have a lot of work to do.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to delay the Purple talk. I just want to talk to you because you were there, you know, witnessing that horrific showing from the Spurs. But Popovich, after the game, mentioned how he was not going to go back and look at film with the team. Would Coach Brandon Big Papi Medina show tape to his team if that happened under his watch? Would you have done that? Said, no, we're going to sit down. We're going to watch this.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, yeah. I coached a fourth and fifth grade team that went undefeated here in the city. I'm not Popovich, but, you know, listen, Coach Brandon Medina knows what he's doing sometimes, Jeff, you know what I mean? But, no, but in all seriousness, yeah, I think it definitely is worth looking at tape. And just if nothing more than to prove a point or to at least bring things back to reality. Like, hey, yeah, all you guys are NBA players. All you guys are great. But you're not as good as you think. Let's bring it back to reality off of, you know, DeJounte's an all-star. You're playing for the play-in, you know, buzzer beaters here and there with Lonnie and Keldon and this and that.
Right.
Okay, that's great. But you just got absolutely killed by a team who is on paper not much better than you or, if anything, on par or below you. So
yeah.
I think it's definitely worth looking at tape and at least humbling some of the young guys to say, this is what happens when you get too relaxed in an NBA environment.
Yeah, I did disagree with Popovich on that, excuse me. I definitely, Coach Jeff would have said, no, we're sitting down tomorrow, probably right now after I'm done with this chat with the media. We're going to get in that locker room and look at what the hell happened. But yeah, but hopefully the Spurs turn a little bit of a corner, maybe. You know, Brandon, they're still in the play-in chase. Even that embarrassing loss, thanks to the Lakers just continuing to plummet. So, but as of this recording, they're only like two and a half games out. So still doable. Yeah, we'll see if they can get it done. All right, let's get to the heart and soul of this show. That is Jakob Poeltl in focus. Look, Brandon, this started off right now by saying, like, there's nothing, you know, Jakob is good. There's no doubt about that. He's one of the most consistent players on the Spurs. Joel Embiid earlier in the season said that he, in his opinion, he thinks Poeltl is underrated at center. Defensively, we don't have to go through the numbers. We know what he does. Offensive, he's gotten better. But Brandon, this is the rebuild. This is evaluating the talent. This is still moving parts. Is he still the long-term answer at center? No, he's still young for the San Antonio Spurs as this rebuild plows through. Hey everybody, it's that time of year again. At college basketball tournament is finally upon us. It is March Madness, but look, I know you're enjoying it, but there's a better way to enjoy it. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. Hey look, BetOnline, it remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. Sure, you got March Madness, but did you know that BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games? What more can you ask for from BetOnline? Just head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking Athletic Greens because I just wanted a better gut health, more energy, better immune system. Just hated taking all those pills and vitamins. Just wanted a supplement that actually tastes great and wanted to see what the hype was all about. So what is it? It's basically simple as this. You take one scoop of delicious scoop of Athletic Greens and you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamin, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, just to help you start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy recovery, focus, aging, everything you can think of, all those things. Now, look, it just basically tastes great. It comes down to that. Yes, yes, you're probably thinking, oh, what's this going to taste chalky? No, it's easy to mix, easy to go down, tastes great, and again, good for energy. Now, a couple of things you should know about it. First thing is it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free,
Athletic Greens works well with that. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. Just simply tastes good. Even supports better sleep quality. And look, Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. In 2020, Athletic Greens even donated over 1.2 million meals to kids in 2020. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. Just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements just to look out for your health. To make it easy, go to Athletic Greens right now. They're going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
So I was really, really excited to hear from you when we were talking about this topic. Yeah. Because Jakob is one of my favorite players on this roster. I was very happy to actually get him whenever we did move Kawhi some years ago. He was very, very fresh, but to me, I kind of took the Josh Primo take, I guess, that we have now, where it's like, hey, he's young, we can build him into anything we want. And truly, he's grown as a player, man. I mean, he's been playing very, very well this year overall. Has he had some rough games? Of course, who doesn't? Mm-hmm. But for somebody who's not a household name, he's played very well. Now, looking forward, I don't think so, Jeff. Okay. I don't think this is the guy that we're going to be moving forward with for, you know, 4+ years, 5+ years. Right. I think, will he be on the team? I sure hope so. It'd be great to have him there. I just don't think Jakob is our center of the future, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have a ton of draft picks that you can make moves with, figure something out with. You have Jalen Duren in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I believe he's projected to go in like the 6th, 7th pick or so. That dude's, you know, 6'11", very, very good skills on the floor, crashes the glass, protects the rim, could be a really good defensive player. You got Keegan Murray, who could play a small ball center for the Spurs, and that's what we're looking to do from Iowa. You have a lot of really good draft capital that you're able to trade as well and move, because I've been on the show quite a few times with you, and this is the third time on Locked On Spurs that I'm mentioning this name. This is the third time, and if it happens, I want everybody to know Jeff Garcia and Brandon Medina put this into the future and into the universe. I truly believe with the draft capital you have, Miles Turner continues to make sense.
Yes, sir.
As somebody you can attain for very, quote-unquote, cheap, or somebody you can get with maybe just one flip of a trade that's in the mid, you know, lottery lottery, whatever the case. I truly believe him pocketed with another player or something. It just makes sense. He's a Texas boy. He's a very solid center, still super young, and can grow with his organization. And he's exactly what you need. He can spread the floor. Mm-hmm. He can crash the boards. He can block. He can defend. I just think that makes sense from my perspective, since he was already on the chopping block, much like Jakob was. Mm-hmm. They both mentioned in trade scenarios during the trading, you know, the trade deadline and the trading season of it all. And obviously Sabonis got moved to Sacramento and Miles Turner stayed, but I still believe there's value to be had on Miles Turner. And I do think if there's any one person that's in the NBA not talking about draft picks, but somebody that we can go get, I think Miles Turner makes the most sense. And it's probably the most realistic without getting too crazy.
Right.
We know San Antonio's not the most attractive for whatever reason for free agents, but through trade, I truly believe Miles Turner would have fit in really, really well here in San Antonio.
Aside from what Turner can do on the court, I love what he can do off the court, and you will definitely appreciate this too, Brandon. He's a big nerd. I don't know if you've ever seen his social media. He's a huge, and just like me, I'm open about it. I embrace it. You're open about it. You embrace it. You know, your love for WWE and you know, the Turtles. He's that way too. You know, he showcases his Lego creations. I just want him to just come to San Antonio for that as well. But no, you know, Turner, makes sense. But, you know, with the Pacers, you know, seemingly cleaning house, I mean, they did let Sabonis go maybe they would at least be intrigued by some of the picks the Spurs have if they're also in the rebuild as well. And the Spurs are trying to like fast forward the rebuild so they can get back as being one of the best teams in the league. We're talking with Brandon Medina. He is Big Poppy. He is with the San Antonio Sports Star. And check him out every Sunday on the Sunday Sports Grill. Looking at some of Jakob's numbers, 13.6 points per game this season. Brandon, 9.1 rebounds, 2.9 assists, shooting 62% from the field. And but not much of a stretch big. And I think that is where the big knock on him. He's taken 1 3-pointer this season, and he's made it. That's it. And the season is winding down. Is that the big reason why you think he's not the long-term answer, is simply because he cannot stretch the floor?
Yeah, I think that's really the reason. Honestly, I think you look at him as a rebounder, he's been very, very great. You know, look at him as a you know, interior defender, he's been great. You look at his personality, it fits very well with the Spurs. It seems like he's definitely quite the leader on the floor. He doesn't look the part, Jeff, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the intimidating look of an NBA center. Mm-hmm. But he does play well. He can get physical with the best of them, but he cannot stretch the floor for us. Mm-mm. And honestly, I really don't, and I might get roasted for this because he has had a few outings where he does show it. I just don't think he's that great of a big as far as like passing or being in motion and stuff like that. And so I think that definitely is something you got to look forward to with the game constantly evolving to a more, you know, shooting stretched out game for Bigs. It's something that we can't get lost in the shuffle. It's one of those things you have to have an absolute bruiser that's incredible in the paint and, you know, gets buckets here and there, or you have to have a big that can shoot the ball and also, you know, give you a couple rebounds and blocks a night. And I think he kind of fits too close to the middle for me to be comfortable with him saying, hey, this is the guy for us for the next, you know, few years, whether it's 4 years, 6 years, 2 years, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. I want Jakob on this roster, but I'd like Jakob coming off the bench or, you know, doing a Twin Towers thing with somebody who's a little bit more mature in their game and somebody that can go points a little bit easier.
I mentioned this to you before we hit the record button. We got to bring it up is the fact that Jakob himself knew that the Spurs and he was getting some interest ahead of the trade deadline. He spoke with an Austrian outlet right after the deadline was over. And that outlet asked him, like, hey, you know, you're a part of trade talk. Any of that true? And openly, he says, yeah. He goes, it was true because my agent was in touch with me that there were several teams. He took it as a compliment, but then he said he's glad to be still staying in San Antonio. The point of this is the fact that he's confirming this. That means to tell me that maybe the Spurs would have been okay flipping, you know, Jakob, maybe for some more draft capital, maybe for an established stud. There was that rumor, you know, that Toronto wanted him back and possibly could have been Pascal Siakam on the table for San Antonio in return. Brandon, you're the GM of the Spurs. Is flipping Jakob Poeltl on the table?
1,000%.
Okay, 1,000%. Yeah, okay.
It's not even a question. I think I think most Spurs fans, I'm interested to see your take after, but I know me, I would assume most Spurs fans are absolutely keeping it on the table simply because you have to get over the hump. The Spurs fans do not care about a play-in tournament. Let's not get that confused.
Yeah.
It's like the
NIT tournament.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure endless lines? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you can need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Right, yeah, nobody's going into the season like, man, hope we make the play-in tournament. Like, no, that's not the pinnacle of sports in the NBA. You want to be comfortable in the playoffs and say, We are in the playoffs. We're not fighting for our spot at 8, 9, 10. You know what I mean? Like we're in the playoffs comfortably yet. 6, 5, 4, 3, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Right.
And so with that, I don't know that Jakob is a playoff big. I don't know. None of us know. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen in a 7-game series how he does against, you know, DeAndre Ayton and bigs who are normally really, really good in the West. We have no idea yet. However, from what we do see, can Jakob play well? Yes, he can. And clearly because he's had his best year, most likely, or easily his best year, there's going to be trade value. If you could have moved Jakob for Siakam, that's a done deal to me 10 times on Sunday. I'm 100% doing that deal. But whatever deal is on the table, whether it's draft capital, whether it's a Miles Turner, whether it's somebody who's even just a little bit step up or, you know, a few players packaged together for Jakob, whatever the deal is, I think you can package Jakob with one of our picks, with another player that's growing in their own. Maybe if you, you know, a sign and trade deal with Lonnie. I have no idea. I have no idea what the plan is, but I know as a GM, I would never not take a phone call for Jakob or, to be quite honest, any of our players that's not named the Jakob.
Look at you. Fire. Hey, you said you were going to bring some hot takes. You just did it right now.
Come on.
Yeah, to answer your question, because you're going to ask me the exact same thing. I'm putting Jakob on the table still. I think he has value. His contract is also team friendly. You know, for what he does, the Spurs are really getting value out of that. And I think any team notices that. And again, for me, it's just that lack of stretching the floor. Nikola Jokic can do it. You know, you got, I think Ayton can, he has a little midi, you know, he can do it.
Yeah.
Jakob can't.
Anthony Davis, yeah. You know, all yeah. Great players.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the Spurs need that. Now, you're right. I do think he's a good complementary role. I think he's doing well in a starting job. I mean, I tip my cap to him. He's good. But keeping him on the table to flip in the offseason has to be on there if the Spurs are serious about making moves to fasten, like to, you know, quicken this rebuild. I mean, look, if Jakob said that it was true, Brendan, that, yeah, teams are interested and You still pursue that. If you're San Antonio, you're saying, okay, teams, we have this guy here. We know you want him. We want young studs, draft picks, stockpile, established all-stars. What can we do? And I think you have to keep that on the table. But, Brendan, I ask you this, though. He's good in the short term. Like, he's definitely holding it down right now. He's at
100%.
Well, yeah, he's holding it down. But with the draft upcoming, and you mentioned a couple of names already, but let's see, get some more thoughts on this. If the Spurs are, if you start hearing rumors that, well, the Spurs are looking at this big and this big, that A, that's going to signal like, okay, maybe they're okay with shipping out Jakob. But who are some names, maybe like in the tournament right now, the March Madness tournament, that Brandon Medina would like seeing man in the middle if the Spurs part way with Poeltl?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, the one that definitely stands out, obviously, because the Spurs right now, even with Keldon and with Devin Vassell and all them, they're getting used to playing small ball. And let's be honest, the NBA realistically is kind of transformed into almost a small ball type.
Mm-hmm.
We first started seeing that with Golden State before Durant, after Durant. I mean, you saw Draymond play in the center quite a bit, and he's like 6'7". So, I mean, someone that can fit that bill, that can shoot, that plays very well, has a high motor, but is ranked up a little high. If he was to fall or if we were to move up a few spots, Keegan Murray be somebody we could look at. I love Paolo Banchero as much as the next guy. Mm-hmm. I love him to death, but he's going to go way too high. And I don't think the Spurs are going to get an opportunity because he's either – I mean, you have Jabari and Chet Holmgren. They're going to either go 1, 2, 3, or Paolo's going to go 1, and they go 2, 3 after him, whatever the case. But one of those guys is going to go – all those guys are going to go in the top three. And I don't see the Spurs getting a top three pick by any means as far as moving picks up. Or, you know, obviously they're doing too well right now to even get into that top three discussion. So, for me, I don't want to be Mr. Unrealistic and get in my head about Paolo Banchero. Oh, can we get him? Can we land him? Who knows? Unless the Spurs truly believe this is the second coming of, you know, David Robinson or Duncan, and they want to move up, sure, that'd be awesome. But Keegan Murray makes sense. He's going to go a little high. Jalen Durham might be someone that could fall back a little bit. He's playing for Memphis, who had a great tournament. Obviously, you know, when you look at maybe a little bit farther into the draft, I know Baylor has a few bigs that one of their guys, Jeremy something, I want to say it's Sochan or something like that, he reminds me of almost a Boris Diaw type that could be really nicely.
Okay.
Nicely fit into the Spurs system. And then the other one I would say, if you've been watching, unfortunately, I believe just got knocked out with Auburn, but Walker Kessler is a center there in Auburn who could be really, really good. Super, super young. Has flashed some really good perimeter D, has had some really good offense. There's room to operate with him. He's very explosive in the leaping category. But he is really, really young, so it'd be almost Josh Primo-esque where, hey, let's mold this kid into somebody that we can use in the future. What do we need out of him? How can we help grow him as a star? And so there's a few really, really good prospects. Obviously, like every year, this is a very guard-heavy, small forward-heavy draft. But there's definitely some stretch bigs that, you know, can play the four or can sneak into center for doing some small ball, or I think Walker Kessler is probably your best bet. And he's right now, I'm looking at it on ESPN, he's projected to go about 19 or so as far as best available. So definitely.
And theoretically, the Spurs should be in that range, obviously. I think they got to be in that. At minimum, 19 or up. Yeah, so he should be there.
Yeah, it's the physical profile that I think is really intriguing with him. He's 6'8", 18-year-old, has solid ball handling, can shoot a little bit, but the dude's leaping ability is just, I mean, highlight reel waiting to happen. You know what I mean? So definitely one of those guys I like. I think the Spurs have a lot of options on the table. Like I said, if Miles Turner is available in trade and you make that call, move him without trading one of our high picks, oh, my goodness gracious. I do it in a heartbeat. And then go get yourself some hoopers. Go get a good small forward or another guard or whatever the case. And because you don't know what's going to happen with Lonnie. We have no idea what's going to happen with Lonnie. We have no idea where some of the other guys might be going. Obviously, this team can use all the help they can get. I think looking at this roster, you've heard it the same way I've heard it, man. Everybody's always like, we have too many guards. We have too many guards. But you still can't score points. So let's get a guard who can go shoot the lights out, because – we need somebody who consistently is going to be going off. We've been seeing that with Lonnie and Keldon and Jonte. But let's just keep adding talent. I mean, regardless of what it is, let's keep adding more talent to this roster and let's see where it takes us.
Brendan, does Jakob fetch Spurs a nice haul? Does he fetch him? Let's just say they're going to go with it. They're going to move him. He gets a nice return, right? I mean, you get an all-star caliber player in return level. Are we there?
I don't know about an all-star cat. Maybe like an all-star that once was. You know what I mean? I don't know about an all-star that is today. But I do know he's gonna fetch something, man. He's gonna fetch definitely something pretty helpful for the Spurs, whether it's picks. I don't think the Spurs would move him for picks though, simply because we have the picks already. I don't think the Spurs want any more picks unless they're gonna move that as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say, man. It's hard to say, could you move him and maybe another player or just him or something for like a Jeremy Grant or someone like that to the stretch big? Maybe.
Perfect. Yeah, I take that. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know if it's just Jakob, though. You know what I mean? Maybe it's Jakob and a pick that's high in the 20s or whatever the case, or another player. Cool, that'd be perfect. Maybe you can move him straight up for Miles Turner. I mean, we have no idea. We're not the ones making those calls, because there's a lot of trades that happen where we're like, that's all it took. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of trades that we see in the NBA, in the NFL, and in every sports league where you see it go through and you say, wait, that's all it took for that player? Why didn't my team do that? The Spurs need to be that team that's saying, what's it going to take? Here's our offer right now. Boom, Jakob for Miles Turner. Take it or not. Let's see. Let's start the conversation there. If they say that's good enough for us, perfect. You just did a one-for-one trade and you probably got a better big. He has some injury proneness, but you got a better big than me and you both have been talking about for a while. I'm not sure what his trade value is, but it's definitely going to be, I'd say, in that all-star-esque region. I'm just not willing to say all-star just yet.
Yeah, I mean, if that report was true right before the trade deadline that the Raptors were willing to part with Siakam, I mean, there's an all-star right there. And I think Siakam would fit well, you know, that veteran, championship veteran, you know, on the squad. I think it would have been great. But, yeah, I mean, there's just so many things with Poeltl. Look, we're not – Brendan and I, we're not bashing the kid. He's a hell of a player, good player. He's a top 10 pick for – he's a top 10 pick for a reason. But we're just looking at the rebuild and trying to discuss the angles here. And one of the angles is he the Poeltl, that is, the long-term answer for this team. And probably not. Probably not. Would not be surprised to find – you start hearing those rumors, Brendan, in the offseason – Spurs are looking to take phone calls on Jakob Poeltl. It's probably going to happen. As a matter of fact, Brendan, I would be more surprised if I don't hear stuff like that. Just not about Poeltl, just about the team in general. You know, like they're shopping Lonnie, they're shopping Devin, they're trying to move in the draft. This is what a rebuilding team should be doing, Brendan, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you should be moving players around that maybe have that trade bait, and you got to move them while they're hot, man. You can't assume Jakob is going to do next year what he's doing this year. Obviously, we all like to believe that, but it's the fluctuation of the NBA. What if he gets hurt? Now we don't have any trade value off of this player. Move him now or completely commit and say, Jakob's our guy. We're going to move forward with it. Our Spurs fans will stay Spurs fans regardless. We're all going to have our opinions, but we're going to stay fans regardless. All I want to know is Jakob does not seem to be a playoff big for me. Someone that you can you honestly say, yeah, I could take Jakob and we're going to go to an NBA finals if we add a few pieces. I don't believe right. That's the case. I don't think so. And if you can't see Jakob in a championship starting team, what are we even talking about? The whole point of playing in the NBA or any sports league is to win championships. Mm-hmm. And so, as much as I love Jakob, I don't want him off the team necessarily. I'm saying if there's value for him, great. If he gets a better opportunity and we can get a pick back or a player back that we enjoy, awesome. If not, let's add somebody else through picks and let's keep Jakob and just have a duo, sure. Whether he's coming off the bench or if he's doing a Twin Towers thing starting in the lineup with us. No problem. I like Jakob. I'm just saying his trade value right now is at the absolute highest. It probably will be in his career. That's a hot take, but I truly believe that. I don't think anybody could argue, could you trade Jakob for Siakam 2 years ago? Not a chance.
No, probably not now, yeah.
Right. Could you do it 2 years from now? Who knows what kind of player he might be? What if he has an injury? Mm-hmm. What if he, you know, leaves in free agency and we get nothing? We have no idea. This is the time to start making those moves, making those adjustments for the betterment of the roster. And I truly believe those moves are what creates NFL talent and NBA talent and NBA championship teams. So for me, Jakob, and like I said, anybody else not named Keldon Johnson or DeJounte Murray needs to be on the table just to make sure we're hearing all offers of how we can make this team better.
So you say not DJ, not KJ. So you're okay with Primo as well being on the trade table, possibly.
My thing is, let's be completely honest. Let's be transparent here.
Here we go.
Let's be transparent here, okay? Let's let the people in behind the closed door. Is anybody really trying to trade for Josh Primo?
Brandon, you're gonna break the hearts of all those Primo fans.
I love Josh Primo as much as the next one. When he, you know, is at the scores table about to come in, I lose my mind. I get excited. But is anybody trading for Josh? Like, let's keep it honest here, people. Josh Primo is just beginning to find himself. Nobody's looking to trade for him. If you do, the Spurs are going to ask something pretty high for him because they just spent an 11 pick on him. I mean, this is a kid who has a lot of value as a young player in the NBA. I just don't think anybody's looking for him. Could you package him and Jakob for someone great? Sure, and if you do, guess what? Yo, it was great getting to know you, Primo. Have a great career, but we're going to move on. I mean, this is a business at the end of the day, and we're trying to win championships. I truly believe Josh Primo is going to be a stud of a player as he gets older, but I don't think anybody's looking to trade for him now. That's why I say KJ, DeJounte, those are my guys that I want to keep on this team and build with.
I even want to throw Devin Vassell in there, but I want to keep him just on the hook a little bit more to see what we could get, what we could possibly get back. Because if the return is great, man, I mean, the Spurs could really, really, really create a great roster if you make the right moves.
Look at you. You know, I can see you being like kind of a, like a Don and being like, no, it's just business, people. It's just business. It's just business.
Oh, that's exactly Big how it would be. I'd walk in. I walk in. I shake your hand. And I say, hey, listen, it's great getting to know you. Pack your stuff. You're on Philly. Peace out. Get on going. But, you know, hey, tell the family I said hello. Kiss your daughter. Hug your boy. But, you know, it's business. You got to get going.
I'm making an offer to them that they can't refuse. I can see definitely exactly. Medina being that way. He is Brandon Medina. He is with San Antonio Sports Star, the Sunday Sports Grill. Check him out over at San Antonio Sports Star. Before I let you go, Big Poppy Medina, do you play NBA 2K? Are you a gamer?
Oh my God! If you find me on NBA 2K, just know I am a problem for you. I am
okay. Then anybody on the South Side,
I am the man in 2K.
Then perfect. Then you're the man to answer this or get your take on this. So, 2K recently released their updated, numbers and their player ratings. Excuse me. Now, Lonnie Walker, he did see an increase. He was the highest point increase for the Spurs in the latest update. He's now at a 76. Fair or not fair?
What was he before? It was like 72, 74?
He was a 74. So he went up 2 points.
That's what I thought he was. Yeah, 76. I think that's fair, man. I think maybe 78 would have been fair. Mm-hmm. I like 76. I know. Trying to think of like 2K player ratings, I'm gonna sound like a super geek here now. Like 78 normally is like from a few years ago, like Nicholas Batum, Robert Covington, those type of guys. Yeah. Like that's where I think he should have been because he's better than those guys. So I definitely think Lonnie should maybe be a 78, especially with the latest showings.
Right.
But 76, I mean, you got to take it. Not every 2K engineer and 2K programmer is a Spurs fan too. So I mean,
they're just going off
of stats and stuff like that. But I definitely think 76 is fair, but he could use another little boost up. I'm interested to see, did KJ get any boost in rankings or the drop?
Not enough. No. I mean, there Katie Bates' job went up one. Zach Collins fell two. Yeah, Zach Collins lost 2 points. Jakob Poeltl, he saw a 1 point increase. As a matter of fact, they have Jakob at an 80 now, at an 80 player rating.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'm okay with it, man. I like looking at ratings, and I always do this all the time. Every time I play a game, I'm like, man, is this a fair rating for this player? But I mean, they had Patty Mills like a 72 for years, and I was like, this is not fair. But Lonnie Walker.
Then he goes to Brooklyn, right? And what's his player rating now?
like a 77. But whenever you talk about Lonnie Walker, player rating 76, 78, that's where I put him. I wouldn't put him higher just yet, but I do think it's a fair rating for somebody who's programming the game and maybe it's not a huge Spurs fan and there's no bias there. 76 is fine.
I had a chance to talk with him last week, Lonnie, at an event. And I said, hey, Lonnie, I go, did you see the player ratings updated? You got a boost. He goes, what do I get? He goes, you're at 76 now. And he kind of looked at me, Brandon. He kind of shakes his head. You know, I mean, this I could tell, like, he has his has a little swagger starting to develop already. He looks at me. He goes, Jeff, I guess my last 2 months have been saying otherwise, huh? So he was happy about it. So he knows that he's been balling out, and he got himself a 2-point increase.
I'll tell you what. I love Lonnie, but he's lying like a dog. You know damn well Lonnie knew what his player rating was. If I was a player, I'd be adding Ronnie to every day of the week. Yo, boost my rating. I just went off for 20. Yo, boost my rating. I went off for 25. And so that I was, they know this stuff. That's why Yakov knew he was on the trading block. They read the same things we read. They get tagged and tweeted at the same stuff that we're retweeting. I mean, these players.
And especially now with these young kids, now that they're all about social media. Yeah. Okay, fine. You told this to Manu, Tony, or Tim, they'd probably be like, I don't know what the H you're talking about. You know, what the hell you're talking about? Because they weren't really in tune with that. Now this is a new generation of Spurs, and you can't tell me they're not looking at social media. Because look at how many times has DeJounte Murray clapped back at fans? Several times. So it happens. Mr. Medina, tell us what's going on over there at the Sunday Sports Grill. Why should everybody globally, because you are a global show, YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff, should be tuning into the grill?
Yes, the Sunday Sports Grill every Sunday from 11 to 1 p.m. It's myself, Quinn Hudson, and Tanner Carlson over on the San Antonio Sports Star. We talk everything from Spurs to the NFL. I love to get hot takes galore on all the UT fans and Dallas Cowboy fans. I love to cheer on my Texas Tech Red Raiders and talk a bunch of trash and pretend I'm a GM for the San Antonio Spurs. And then we also constantly love to make outlandish bets and help people win some money with DraftKings and betting online and all that great stuff. So it's a fun show, lots of pop culture talk, lots of sports talk, lots of hot takes, and truly it is full of comedy and sports mixed together in a beautiful, lovely environment. Sunday Sports Grill, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can follow me at Big Poppy Brandon M on Twitter. Keep along with everything going. Feel free to clap back at me and Jeff for all the crazy things we say on his podcast as well as my show. And then you'll always see me and Jeff talking about some dorky stuff as well here and there. So
absolutely. Absolutely. We don't hide it. We embrace our nerd side. Subscribe to Lockdown Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. The list goes on and on. We always thank you for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen each and every day. And the move to YouTube is imminent. It is here, Brandon. Woo! I don't know if you heard. But yeah, the bosses of the bosses of the bosses, you know, over the Lockdown Network, they're like, we want to see everybody make the transition to YouTube. That does not mean, Brandon, that they're going to lose the MP3. It's still going to be there just as normally it was. Just another way for you to catch Lockdown Spurs. So don't worry, Brandon. You don't want to be on video. That's fine, because I asked. I go, like, I had to do some training. I go, what if the guest doesn't feel comfortable? They go, okay, well, don't worry about it. You know, there's you press this button and it blocks them out. And I said, okay, cool. But the cool thing about it, like, it's all or nothing. So let's just pretend like you don't want to be on video. You're busy. You're at home. Maybe your house is a mess, whatever. So if you tell me that, then the entire panel gets blocked out. So I'm like, that'll work. Because I'm not too thrilled about YouTube, but
you know what? I'm definitely showing my face so that everybody can see the
Big Poppy. Maybe you'll grace us on by wearing that robe for your YouTube Lockdown debut.
Oh,
that would be a fire! That would be fire.
I will bring out the Ric Flair robe. I will do it all. You let me know.
We'll get that going. So look forward to that once Lockdown Spurs makes its move. It's likely going to happen best case this week, worst case early next week. So it is here. Looking forward to that. So for Brandon, Big Poppy, Medina, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.